Good morning, Abundant Life. For those of you who are with us for the first time, so good to have you. I'm glad that you are here. I am not Pastor Greg. I am his stand-in. As you heard this morning, he is feeling a little bit under the weather, and out of abundance of caution and love for each of you, decided not to risk spreading infection. And so, welcome to 2022. Yesterday, I asked my son to pray over lunch before we ate, and he said, God, thank you for this food, and thank you that 2021 is over. That was a terrible year. Now, maybe you had a similar prayer uttered in your household or in your heart. I don't know the details of what your 2021 was like or your 2020. I know the broad outlines, and a lot of us are pretty happy to be looking at 2021 in the rearview mirror. I want to say 2022... new chance to live our lives under the lordship of Christ and to see what happens. I don't know what 2022 will bring us. In fact, I was feeling pretty good about this whole thing, you know, Omicron. I mean, everyone's getting it, but it's pretty mild. I'm like, yes, we're seeing some breakthrough. And then this morning, John Burnham drops, hey, did you hear? Flu Rona out of Israel. I was like, what is Flu Rona? And I looked this up. You can actually get COVID and flu at the same time. This is like the Fast and the Furious movies. The sequels never stop. And they don't get better. And so I don't know what 2022 has in store for us, but I do know this, that if we will ask God to help us exit 2022 with more faith, with more hope, and with more love than we entered it with, then regardless of what details or detours come our way, it will have been a good year. And so I don't know what you're into in terms of New Year's resolutions, or maybe now you're into New Year's reservations. Oh, no, not another year. Let's just, before I launch into the message this morning, take a moment to pray, God, do a work in our hearts this 2022. And whatever in your providence comes our way, we pray that we would grow from it. Lord, I thank you that you brought us through 2021. And Lord, I look forward to you being faithful in 2022. God, I pray especially for our faith, our hope, and our love to increase and to even abound. And Lord, that we would live this year in a way that honors you. And Lord, be merciful and make it a good year. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Today we're launching into a new series. Real Church, we're studying the book of Acts. We're actually not going to get very much into Acts today. Pastor Greg will kick that off next week. But we're going to sort of lay the foundation today. This is a bit of a tradition at Abundant Life. We start the first service of every year with sort of a reminder of the baseline, the core, the heartbeat of what makes Abundant Life Abundant Life. And so before we get into what we learn about the real church from the book of Acts, let's just recap what the Lord has done in us and how he's brought us to this point. What is real church? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 to 23. Which these notes will be, these verses will be on the screen and then also in the handout you may have received when you came in. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The him, the he, the his in this passage is Jesus. God placed all things under the feet of Jesus and appointed Christ to be head over everything for the church, which is the body of Christ, the fullness of Jesus, who fills everything in every way. That's a really powerful idea expressed in these two verses. It starts with Jesus. Jesus came into the world to save people. We just finished celebrating Christmas. We still have Christmas decorations up. You may have them around your house in your neighborhood. Christmas is a wonderful time of the year. It's so many people's favorite holiday, but objectively, it is a weird holiday. I mean, just the thing that we're celebrating is God becoming human. Like, why would God do that? It's like God was up in heaven. Jesus, you know, he was living the 24/7, 365 holodeck life. Everything he wanted all the time. That's a Star Trek reference for those of you who are not nerds. Anything he wanted, right? Because he's God. And he's going to give that up to be born in a manger and to live in poverty and to experience life under the Roman Empire. Not great, according to history. Why would he do that? Well, the only reason that God would give up awesomeness and wonderfulness and everything that was good and perfect is because there was something he wanted to accomplish that could be accomplished no other way. Jesus set his divine powers aside for a mission. He knew that we were lost. He knew that we were confused. He knew that we were sinful. And so he came to bring us forgiveness, to bring us freedom, to bring us transformation, so that we could be with him in heaven someday. He came to be with us in order that we might go to be with him. Now, if you're here with us, either in person or online or outside, they're like the Green Berets of Abundant Life, by the way. These are the Navy SEAL Team 6 out here. I'm impressed with your ability to withstand the elements. Wherever you're at, if your faith is not yet in Christ, this is really what we're about as a church. That we come together because of Jesus. And we come together to be transformed by Jesus. If your trust is not yet in him, I encourage you to focus your attention there this morning and place your faith in Christ to start your new year. What a glorious way to launch into 2022. Now, Jesus came to save us. To do that, there were three key things that he did. One, and most significantly, he died on the cross and was raised to new life on Easter Sunday. Without that, nothing else matters. The tomb is empty. That's the foundation of Christianity. Jesus accomplished his purpose. But that's not all that he did. Jesus also made disciples and established the church. So, first thing, Jesus came into the world to save people. Second, Jesus made disciples and commanded us to cultivate, plant, water, and harvest. If you've been here at Abundant Life, you recognize that phrase. That is, we just went through that as a sermon series last year, this idea that we have a way of being in the world that is meant to bring other people out of this world into heaven with us. That we are engaged in this agricultural metaphor of seeing new life birthed in people around us. Cultivate, plant, water, harvest. Jesus then, in addition to commanding us as disciples to engage in his mission, he also created this thing called the church to be his fullness on earth. And this part is really key. If all we had were steps one and two, that Jesus came and then he commanded us to do the similar things to what he did, then we would all be sort of like free agents. We'd all be like a contractor, not W-2 employees, but 1099s. You know, we sort of like not having all the benefits. We sort of be freelancers out there living our own life. We'd be Uber drivers for the Lord, right? Just doing our own thing, independent with no connection. And that's not the way that God set things up. He created the church, something bigger than me, something bigger than you, something bigger even than us. The church is not just us. The church is us plus the Holy Spirit. So this verse that we looked at, this idea of God placed all things under his feet, and he's the full. We are the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. That when we look at that, some ideas emerge that God placed everything under the feet of Jesus. Everything. And then God made the church the body of Jesus. I think I have this backwards. Oh, that's curved right. Okay. God made the church the body of Jesus. If God put everything under the feet of Jesus, and the church is the body of Jesus, then everything is under our feet insofar as we are under the headship of Jesus. Does that make sense? He is the fullness of all things, and we are the fullness of him made manifest. We're his body. And so if what he does, we do. That's a really powerful idea. So Jesus commissioned and empowered the church, his body, to accomplish this great task that we began this conversation with. He poured out the Holy Spirit upon the church. It was when the church was gathered together in prayer, the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2. When Paul is talking in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14 about the Holy Spirit coming, it is into the context of a worship gathering of the people of God being together. A shocking number of the yous we find in the New Testament are y'alls. Like, y'all are the body of Christ. y'all are God's temple. The Holy Spirit dwells within y'all. Go into all the world. Y'all go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. There's some things we only do together. That's by design. I mentioned spiritual gifts earlier. You can find all these things that God says the Holy Spirit will do in the context of the body. They almost all require community. So healing. Okay, someone gets to get healing and someone gets healed, right? It takes at least two. The gift of prophecy. If you're by yourself, that ain't a prophecy. That's ranting. It's when you're together that the prophetic word comes forth. A gift of hospitality. Not if you're by yourself. Gift of administration. What are you organizing, right? The gift of leadership. Takes two. Usually more. Like all these gifts are the only gift that is just you and the Lord is speaking in tongues. And that's what Paul says. That's the least of the gifts. That's an important gift. And if you don't speak in tongues, by the way, it really can animate your spiritual life. And I would encourage you in 2022, just say, Lord, I'd love all the gifts you have for me, including let's start with the baseline. Let's just bring that one in. But Paul says, but what we want is for everyone to be benefiting, everyone to be blessed, because the whole thing about spiritual gifts is we're a body, that we need one another. See, we need all the gifts, but none of us has all the gifts. And so we need one another. We need to be together. We need to be connected. Now, we call that church when we all come together. Now, theologians debate. Like, what's the best way to structure a church? What's the right way to lead a church? What are the key markers of a true church? And they can go on and on. There's whole thick books about it. But in essence, it's not that complicated. A pastor who's been dead for a few decades, A.W. Tozer, made this, I think, very accurate observation. 100 religious persons knit into a unity by careful organization do not constitute a church any more than 11 dead men make a football team. The first requisite is life, always. What is it that makes a church the life of Christ? The life of Christ in the church is what makes a church a church. Without that, all we are is some sort of a club or a social gathering. If you will, like I'm pretty sure this is a fake tree. I haven't checked, but yes, this is a fake tree, right? Okay, so it's cool. It looks good. It's actually really, really beautiful. Whoever decorated this, kudos. You did an excellent job. But you know what that tree doesn't do? Produce any oxygen. It doesn't give any life. It just has the form of a tree. There, we can create an entity that has the form of a church, but it doesn't have any life. People do it all the time. I don't want to be a part of something like that. I don't want to go to something like that. And the way that we keep that from happening is we all pursue connection with God. And then his life comes into each of us, and together we encourage life in one another. And then there is this life-giving energy that happens. Now, independent of so why do you get up on a Sunday morning? Let me come back to that. Why do you get up on a Sunday morning? Or why do you wake your teenagers up on a Sunday morning? I don't want to get out of bed. Get out of bed. Why? What do you say? Because there's life. We're going to get life. So I had a beautiful thought and left my head. So we're going to get life. So if you come to church just for the music, it's good. I hope that you find the music pleasant and encouraging. But if all you want is music, man, turn on Spotify, right? I don't come to church for motivational speech. If I want that, man, there's podcasts. I feel like one third of all the men in America have a podcast right now. Some of them are pretty good. Just find a podcast you like if that's all you want. YouTube videos of Jordan Peterson or something. You can find all kinds of people out there telling you stuff. You could do that. It's just fellowship. Well, join a soccer club. There's anything that the church does just in the natural, you can replicate in the natural. If that's the only reason you get up, you don't have to get up. You can do it Saturday afternoon, Sunday evening. There's all kinds of things. But the reason we do what we do, first, the reason we do Sunday morning is that's when Jesus got out of his tomb. We figure if he got out of his tomb on a Sunday morning, we can get out of our bed on a Sunday morning. Second, the reason that we come together fundamentally is because we want the life and transformation that Jesus promises. He famously said, in fact, this church gets its name from it, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Abundant life is why we gather together. At one point, Jesus said something that really offended a lot of people. A lot of people left. And he turned to the disciples and said, do you want to leave too? And Peter looked at the other guys and was like, Lord, where will we go? You have the words of life. You have the words of life. We come together for the presence of the Spirit, for the transformation, for encouragement, replenishment of our faith. And because not just what happens from the front, but what happens, the whole network. That I leave Sunday mornings encouraged, alive more than when I came. It's my stop on the oasis so I can get refueled for the next phase of my journey. And so, please, now, by the way, maybe you're not there yet. Maybe it's a new year for you and you're like, you know, I'm going to try going to church a little bit. Maybe you're online, you know, I just want to check this thing out a little bit. There's just practical reasons to go to church too. Side note, I love this. I read this article from a few Harvard researchers earlier last year. I guess last year by definition was earlier. If I read it, it was earlier. I'm not reading it right now. I read at some point, and I'm going to quote Tyler Van Der Weele and some, I forget his colleague's name. He's an epidemiologist at Harvard. We found that religious service attendance prolongs life and bolsters mental health. Our findings aren't unique. A number of large, well-designed research studies have found that religious service attendance is associated with greater longevity, less depression, less suicide, less smoking, less substance abuse, better cancer and cardiovascular disease survival, less divorce, greater social support, greater meaning in life, greater life satisfaction, more volunteering, and greater civic engagement. And he goes on to say, and we control for whether it was a matter just of faith or of faith plus attendance. It's faith plus attendance. It's actually going to church. If all you're doing is staying at home, reading your Bible, praying a lot, that's good, and there's no doubt benefits to that. But not these benefits. In fact, people who go to church on average live about a decade longer than people who don't. Go to church weekly, by the way, not the monthly California installment plan, but the weekly attendance. Actually, they measured that. It makes a difference. If you're going weekly, then or more, on average, about a decade longer. A decade! Like, I don't know how long you think people live, but that's like 10 to 15% of an average life. Extra. That's the opposite of smoking. Smoking knocks off about 7 years from your life, last I heard. About a decade. Now, I minister at Stanford to university students. I work with a ministry called Chi Alpha. It's the Assemblies of God outreach to colleges and universities across America. And I deal with these skeptical students. And the thing is, they would never, by and large, consider smoking. Man, I'm not going to take a decade off my life, but they skip church. I'm like, bro, you're getting spiritual cancer. Like, you're a hypocrite. You're inconsistent. You don't even understand. Like, don't smoke and go to church. It's like 2 decades. I'm not quite sure that math adds up, by the way. I think it's probably some complicating factors there. But nonetheless, like, man, like, so even in the natural, there's good reasons to come here. And how much more when we consider the supernatural, the life, the eternity with God. Now, all that to lead to our vision, mission, and markers and behaviors. So we have a vision here at Abundant Life. Everything for the glory of God. Everything for the glory of God. That's our animating principle. If we're doing something that dishonors God, we need to stop it. And if we're failing to do something that would honor God, we need to start it. We try to bring everything that we do, both as individuals and collectively as a church, to the glory of God. Out of that fundamental animating vision flows our mission. We're a church family devoted to making disciples of Jesus Christ. As we contemplate that vision, everything in the glory of God, what does that mean to us? Abundant Life, Assembly of God, here in the year 2022 in Cupertino, California. Well, it means that we need to be a certain way, a church family. So a church, that thing I was talking about where the life of Christ is the focus and abounds. Family, we have these connections to one another where we recognize the question is not, will we be in relationship? The question is, what will the quality of our relationship be? We're brothers and sisters in a very real sense. In fact, I would say earthly brotherhood and sisterhood is the counterpart to the true reality, the ultimate reality of brotherhood and sisterhood in Christ. We truly are family. So we're a church family. It's who we are. And then what we do is we make disciples. We perpetuate that. We bring people into the family along with us. And so how can we tell What are the things that we can look to? We have these markers, these sort of checkpoints that we look at to say, are we truly living up to our vision, fulfilling our mission? And the markers are that we have a God-given identity. Who we are is blood-bought children of God. We have a God-given family. We look to see, are we exhibiting the traits of a healthy family? Who are we with? We have a God-given purpose. Are we engaged in the task that God has given us to do? We look around and see evidence of that happening. And then we're called to a God-ordained sacrifice. Are we willing to do what it costs? Because it is always inconvenient to do things. Not just God things, just things. Like cleaning your garage is inconvenient. Brushing your teeth can be inconvenient. Winning the lost can be inconvenient. Are we willing to pay the price? And by the way, I'd encourage you to do each of those things. Every one of them matters at some level. So that's who Abundant Life is. We're a people reborn in Christ, put together as a family, commissioned to accomplish a task, and willing to do it regardless of what hardship comes our way. We're a church. Now, there are some people that don't like churches. They don't like the idea of church. They don't like organized religion. I minister to these students, right? Some of them are skeptical. Like, I don't like organized religion. My answer is always the same. Disorganized religion is way worse. Trust me, you want organized religion. Disorganized religion, bad things happen. Plus, no one brings snacks for the kids. So organized religion is way, way better. But I get what they mean. That religion can be weird. Church life can be weird. And some people have been hurt deeply by experiences within the body of Christ. Sometimes in healthy churches that just had a bad break. Sometimes in just deeply toxic environments that wore the label of church, like a cosplayer or something. Here's the thing. Whether you've had a good experience or a bad experience, and I assume most of us here have had relatively good experiences because we're still here, right? Whether you've had a good experience or bad experience, you have family members, here's the thing. If you love God, you've got to love the church. That doesn't mean you don't acknowledge the warts and the imperfections of the church, but you got to love the church. So I'm going to quote that famed theologian Joel Osteen. You can be committed to church but not committed to Christ. But you cannot be committed to Christ and not committed to church. First, don't at me. I don't know Joel Osteen. I've never met him. People have strong opinions about him. I broadly like the guy. And here's why. I've never met him, like I said, but I have two friends who've met him and talked to him at some length. And these are both pretty, like, very savvy, thoughtful, almost critical people, like slightly on that side of just a little bit. Like, there's a bad thing, they're going to find the bad thing. And they both are like, that guy rocks. He's the real deal. I'm like, okay, cool. And so I decided after hearing that report from them, independently, like just each brought it up within about a month of one another, I was like, I should check one of these sermons out because, you know, people rave about them. And I listened to this sermon. It was like, you know, unless a seed falls to the ground, it can't, you know, bear fruit. And I was like, it was a very simple message. I was like, that's all right. I guess people like him. It's good. And so I went about my business. The next day I was meeting with a student on campus. And she was going through some stuff. And she shared some. And I was like, you know what? I actually think this one little segment of that sermon yesterday would be maybe germane to her problem. And so I said, you know, I heard a pastor the other day. And he said, I told this story that Joel Osteen had said in his sermon. Y'all, she began to cry. She said, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. That really helps. And she's in ministry now. I'm not saying it's because Joel Osteen's story, but I'm just saying is I'm not going to knock the guy. So he's got some good stuff to say. And this is one of those good things, that you can be committed to the church without being committed to Christ. And if you are, you need to stop that. But you cannot be committed to Christ without being committed to his church. You can't love Jesus and hate his wife. He doesn't like that. So if you've had a really rough experience with church in the past, my heart goes out to you. I'm so sorry to hear that's been your story. Help us write a new chapter. Give us a chance. It's a healthy place. And good things happen here. So now all that, the vision, the mission, the markers, They all lead to this. If we are these people in this family with this purpose, willing to pay whatever the price, certain behaviors automatically flow out of that. These are the real church behaviors. And Pastor Greg, I believe we'll be talking more about these in future weeks. I'm not going to them much right now. But real church reaches out. Real church serves someone. Real church expresses joy. And real church encourages others. When we're really living out this life that God has called us to together as a church, the abundant life, then we reach out, we serve, we're joyful, and we're encouraging. Now, I've been doing this Chi Alpha thing I mentioned for like 19 years at Stanford and a couple years before that in Missouri. So almost 25 years now, which makes me one of the old guys in campus ministry. Because I've been alive longer than most students. Well, I've been doing ministry longer than most students have been alive. And so when a new staffer joins Chi Alpha, I'm one of the guys who'll sometimes reach out to, he'll ask me questions like, you know, some 22-year-old ready to, you know, change the world for the Lord. Like, hey, so what have you learned in your like 20 years of ministry at Stanford, whatever, whatever. And one of the questions they often ask is, what's your best outreach? What is the thing that leads more people to Christ than anything else that you do? And they're looking for a program, a to-do list, a check, just something they can just throw in. And my answer is always the same. It's our community. It's not a thing that we do. It's all the things that we do. It's who we are that leads people to Christ. Our community is our best outreach. About a decade or so ago now, I had a student reach out to me. I can't remember. I think he may have emailed me and then come to me, or maybe he just found me on campus and ambushed me one day. But he's like, hey, you're the pastor of that Chi Alpha group, right? I was like, yeah, I am. He's like, so there's some Chi Alpha people in my dorm. And I have no idea. Is this going to head to like a weird kegger story? Is someone running a meth lab? Like what news am I about to receive? And he said, so there's these Chi Alpha girls living in down the hall from me. Three of them. And people are always coming to the room for like hanging out, Bible studies, prayer meetings. There's, you know, people playing, you know, Pachisi or whatever, card games, like people doing stuff, probably Settlers of Catan or whatever at the time. People are doing, I'm like, I'm waiting for him to say, like, and it's noisy, disruptive. He's like, and the thing is, they really love one another. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, they're so kind. They're so consistent. They're so considerate. They're so helpful and encouraging. And it just, it blows my mind how well they love one another. And I was like, why are you telling me this? I want to know how I can be loved like that. I said, have you walked down the hall? He's like, yeah. I said, have they welcomed you? Yeah. I was like, so what's missing? It's not all the same. I was like, you're right. It's not. He's like, what's missing? You're getting their love. And you're not yet receiving the love of the Father. You need to be born again. And he's like, what does that mean? We had this long conversation, went on. About a month or two later, I had the privilege of baptizing that guy. And as far as I know, he did indeed experience that love in the dorm the way he hoped. What drew him to Christ? It wasn't an argument, although he did have intellectual questions that needed substantive answers. It wasn't, you know, some massive outreach with like smoke machines and lasers and like, you know, some guy who somersaulted out on the stage like a ninja. It was none of that. Although great, if your church is doing that, you can afford it. There's all kinds of ways. It wasn't a radio program. It wasn't a book by C.S. Lewis. What was it? It was seeing people love one another and saying, I'd like to get on that. That looks pretty sweet. And then realizing there was more to it than just hanging out. That if you just hang out, you'll get some of the benefits. Maybe even live a decade longer. I don't know. But if you get all the way in, you live forever. You live a decade longer and then eternity in heaven with Christ. Abundant Life. We're launching into this real church series. We're going to be studying the book of Acts to see what it is that we can do to be that community together that draws people in. Because each of us has friends that we know and love who need to receive the love of the Father and love of his brothers and sisters, or the brothers and sisters that we have in Christ, to bring them into the family of God. We don't have a trick. We don't have a program. We don't have a thing. What we have is us. Jesus once famously said, by this, all men will know you're my disciples, by the love you have one for another. In 2022, let's love one another deeply and then invite others into the overflow of that love. Now, Sean, you can come on up. I'm going to close with this verse. So we are studying the book of Acts, so I'm going to give you two verses from the book of Acts. But not the beginning, the very end. This is how the book of Acts ends. For two whole years, Acts 28, 30 and 31. For two whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. For 2 years, he stayed there in his own rented house. He stayed in there. He was under house arrest. Paul, he would have had like an ankle bracelet in the modern day, right? He was confined because he was accused of great crimes against the Roman Empire. But what wound up happening is he got to Rome, was able then to rent a house and live under house arrest and freely preach the gospel in the greatest city at that time in the history of the world. And so much so effectively that we wound up seeing the transformation of the Roman Empire over the next several centuries. Here's what happened though. The story ended, period. About the Lord Jesus Christ, period. Acts 28 is over. And it's sort of an odd ending to the book of Acts. Doesn't end with the death of Paul. Doesn't end with any transformational things happening. It just ends with Paul being a normal Christian, doing normal Christian things under house arrest. And that has led many Christians through the ages to this question. Why would Acts end so anticlimactically? And the answer that many people come up with is because the book of Acts isn't over. Because Acts 28 is the last written page, and now we're all living in Acts 29. And that, my friends, is my prayer for 2022. That we would experience all that God has for us. That we would see stuff happen like in the book of Acts. And that together, we would record this year as Acts 29 in each of our lives. Father, we want to pick up the baton that Paul put down. And we want to run with it in our generation. On this next lap around the sun, Lord. Help us be the community you're calling us to be. Lord, each of us as individuals, yes, we need you. We want you. We want to grow with you. Pour out your spirit more in our lives. But God, collectively, we want that. We want your spirit to be among us. We want us to be filled with your spirit. We want to be a community that is winsome and attractive to those around us. Lord, we pray for our families, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our colleagues to want to be loved because they observe the quality of love that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to close with one last thing. If your faith is not yet in Christ, I mentioned this earlier, I encourage you to trust him this morning. And what that means is just simply you turn to God in prayer and faith. You say, Lord, forgive me and guide me. If you're ready to do that, I'm going to just lead us all in a prayer. Please just pray it with faith in your heart and then communicate that to someone. You can go fill out another connection card. You're allowed to do two in one day. It's no big deal. And you click in there that you accepted Christ or talk to me or one of the pastors on staff and let us know so that we can help you take the next steps on your journey of faith. Because once you accept Christ, you're like a spiritual newborn and there's stuff you need to thrive. We want to help you thrive in the days, weeks, months, decades, and because it's Christianity, centuries and millennia to come. Father, for all of us who are renewing our faith, for those of us who are embracing faith, we pray this prayer. God, forgive us. Transform us and guide us. Lord, we will follow Jesus with your help. And so help us by the Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you prayed that minute, please, please, please let someone know. Welcome to 2022 as a follower of Jesus. Let's worship.
Amen. If you'd stand with me, just sing a chorus before we leave. We'll have our prayer partners up here ready and willing to pray with you as our service concludes. Let's just sing this together. I will For there is none above you. I will bow down to tell you that I need you, Jesus, Lord of hosts. I will look back and see that you are faithful. I look ahead, believing you are able, Jesus, Lord of hosts.
Say this one more time. I will look up.
I will look up. For there is none above you. I will bow down to tell you that I need you, Jesus, Lord of all. I will look back and see that you are faithful. I look ahead, believing you are able. Jesus, Lord of all, He is Jesus, Lord of all. Oh, You are Jesus, Lord of all. It's the name of Jesus, Lord of all.
Hallelujah, Lord God, I thank You, Father, for this day. Pray, Lord, that as we go from this place, Holy Spirit, guide us and lead us, direct us, Lord, that we can be real Christ to those around us in this valley. I pray, Father, that we would be forever changed by Your love, through Your grace. May be glorified, and in Your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful new year. If you would like prayer, one of the prayer partners up here ready to pray with you. God bless. Have a wonderful Sunday.